NBC Monitor News on the Hour. Here's David Rush.
Republican National Chairman Rogers Morton has denied a report he plans to resign his party post because he's unhappy over a lack of influence at the White House. The report was published by the Miami Herald. It said Morton, who is a Maryland congressman, would step down as Republican chairman at the end of the year. The denial was issued from Morton's home at Easton, Maryland, as President Nixon was meeting at Key Biscayne with his top political advisors. The White House insisted the five-hour meeting was to plan domestic and foreign programs for the next 2 years and not a post-mortem on the elections. President Nixon today named Robert C. Mardian to be head of the Internal Security Division of the Justice Department. The 47-year-old Mardian is considered one of the most conservative officials in the administration, and his new appointment is seen as a decision by the administration to take a tougher stance against left-wing and revolutionary groups held responsible for recent terrorist activities. State Department officials in Washington said they hope those three American Army officers held in Soviet Armenia will be released soon, but added there have been no encouraging signs from Moscow. The officials declined comment on a reported statement by Soviet Ambassador Dobrynin that he believes the officers will be released soon. Dobrynin is said to have made the remark last night at a Soviet embassy reception in Washington to mark the 53rd anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution. A report on the anniversary celebration in Red Square from Angus Corley in Moscow.
Massed band music and the usual military cheering introduced the usual November 7th parade this morning in Red Square. Even the heavy hardware was unchanged from last year. However, far less usual for this big holiday was the heavy snow which covered the caps and coats and vehicles of those attending in person. Conspicuously not attending here in Moscow was the American charge d'affaires Boris Clausen, who also stayed away from the Kremlin reception which followed. Clausen has been in charge of the U.S. Embassy in the vacation absence of Ambassador Jacob Beam. That absence happened to coincide with the latest Soviet-American impasse resulting from the continuing detention in Soviet Armenia of two American generals and their army pilot. The official snub is not without precedence, however. U.S. officials downgraded their attendance at such official functions as recently as November 1968, following the invasion of Czechoslovakia. Angus Corley, NBC News, Moscow.
A Turkish colonel is being detained with the three Americans, and in Istanbul, demonstrators spattered the Soviet consulate with red paint to dramatize their protest over his detention. The Turkish Foreign Ministry says the colonel is expected to be released soon, but it doesn't know exactly when. A 19-year-old student, one of five suspects in the kidnapped murder of Quebec Minister Pierre Laporte, testified at a Montreal inquest today that he and three other men kidnapped Laporte. But he said he had no part in the slaying of Laporte. The suspect is Bernard Lorty, who was arrested by Canadian police last night. National Guard troops have been sent to Henderson, North Carolina, to assist local law enforcement officials in preventing the possibility of another night of racial disorders. Trouble broke out in the town last night during a protest by Negroes against school desegregation policies. There was some sniper fire and burnings and vandalism. About 45 persons were arrested. Governor Robert Scott called up the Guard today. It's believed about 300 troops are involved. Their duties are described by Guard spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Barry Davis.
Troops moved in and got themselves situated this afternoon, and at the present time they're preparing to go out and mend the post over the city that was set up to assist the local law enforcement officers in enforcing the curfew that the mayor established.
Colonel Davis said the situation is quiet in Henderson now and added he hopes it stays quiet. South Vietnamese and Cambodian troops have joined together south of Phnom Penh, Cambodia, for what military spokesmen describe as the biggest allied operation against the communists since the sweep against enemy sanctuaries last June. So far, no major contact is reported. In Saigon, the U.S. command said 1,220 more men are being pulled out of Vietnam as part of the fifth phase withdrawal plan. The command listed Army, Navy, and Air Force units in the latest reduction of force. In New York, Secretary of State William Rogers met for an hour with Israeli Foreign Minister Abba Iban in a review of the Middle East situation. A spokesman for the Secretary of State said the talks represented a continuation of the dialogue between the U.S. and Israel. The spokesman described the meeting as useful, but said no new proposal was presented. Rogers held a similar meeting yesterday with Egyptian Foreign Minister Riyad. Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Dayan, speaking in Haifa, said he favors resumption of the Yaring peace talks. Dayan took the position that it is the only way to achieve peace between Israel and the Arabs. The Israeli Defense Minister made no mention of his government's demand for Egypt to pull back missiles allegedly placed inside the truce zone. The hour's top story, Republican National Chairman Rogers Morton denies plans. He plans to resign because of dissatisfaction over a lack of influence with the White House. David Rush, NBC News, reporting.
Listen again on the hour for NBC Monitor News.
And now, WNBC Football Scoreboard. Michigan State 24, Purdue 14, Cornell 35, Brown 21, Vanderbilt 18, Kentucky 17, Marshall 20, Kent State 17, Wake Forest 28, Duke 14, Harvard 29, Princeton 7, Yale 32, Penn State 22, Notre Dame 46, Pittsburgh 14, Boston College 65, Buffalo 12, Rochester 27, Hobart 20, Adelphi 12, Maine, Maritime, nothing. Massachusetts 29, Holy Cross 13, Michigan 42, Illinois, nothing. Colgate 44, Bucknell 14, top-ranked Ohio State 24, Wisconsin 7. Powerful Michigan moved another step closer to its November 21st showdown with Ohio State for the Big Ten title by swapping Illinois 42 to nothing. And Harvard played Princeton, took that game 29-7. The Ivy League contest leaves both Harvard and Princeton with identical overall records of 5 wins and 2 losses. The Ivy League contender, unbeaten Dartmouth, clobbered Columbia 55-0. It was the most one-sided victory in the history of the Ivies. Repeating that score again, that was Dartmouth 55 and Columbia nothing. This has been the WNBC Football Scoreboard. More scores at 6:05 right here at Radio 66. This is Hugh Morgan, WNBC News. And now back to NBC's Monitor.
Where you learn such fascinating things as the fact that the sensitivity of a turtle's ear falls off beyond 1,000 cycles, thus making it impossible for it, a turtle, to hear the high notes of a soprano, flute, or even a violin or piccolo. Now, that's something you want to always know, I know. That's just a way to tell you that we'll be talking about hearing and noise in a few minutes. Meanwhile, Neil Diamond... And for all you turtles out there, do it.
While your soul's still burning, don't hide the yearning away. Say what you wanna say. Do it today. Do it today. Tell us.
Most of us are aware of the growing menace of pollution. Every day we see headlines telling us the air we breathe is killing us and the water we drink is poisoned. But there's another less talked about pollutant that's making all of us sick, and that pollutant is noise. Now, just how sick it's making us is one of the startling revelations in a new book, The Fight for Quiet, written by our guest, Theodore Berland. Mr. Berland, what are some of the ailments caused or aggravated by noise other than the obvious loss of hearing?
Noise has a definite effect on our heart, for one thing. It causes the heart to slow down, and it adds extra work to the heart because it makes the blood thicken and it causes the small blood vessels to contract, to get tight. And so the heart has to work a lot harder. It also affects the output of our hormones. It affects stomach ulcers. And, of course, it can drive us crazy.
Another fascinating topic in your book was the effect of noise on unborn children. Now, would you explain that a little further?
I think we can think of noise as a sonic thalidomide in some respects. And I hasten to add that these have been experiments in animals. They were done in Cleveland. Yeah. But they showed that noise of the nature of the sonic boom, which would be created by the SST, the supersonic transport, and other supersonic planes, could in fact cause congenital malformations in unborn fetuses.
Well, now, we've been talking about damage to the body or bodies by noise. What kind of mental damage results from the constant bombardment of overloud sounds?
Well, you know that noise, as a third pollution, if you consider air pollution and water pollution the first two pollutions, air is a nervous pollution. It's the only one of the three pollutions that really makes you nervous. It really has any effect on your nervous system. And if you happen to be the kind of a person that may be a little unbalanced or having emotional problems, and noise is another stress on your psyche, then it can push you over. Noise also interferes with your sleep and doesn't allow you to get enough sleep and interferes with your dreams. It can, of course, cause you a great deal of irritation. And in some people, depending on how stretched out they are, can even make them paranoid and lead to homicide. There have been cases in the newspaper where people have actually murdered noise. Because of noise.
Well, also now, I read that in your book that we can be made nauseous, dizzy, disoriented by noise that we can't even hear. Now, what is noise specifically that we can't hear?
Well, this is infrasonic noise. This is noise below the threshold of hearing. You know, the human ear can hear from 20 cycles per second to 20,000 cycles per second. And when you get below 20 cycles per second, it's called infrasound. Sound you cannot hear, but it still has its effects on your body. And it can cause all these things. And if it's powerful enough, it can really cause terrible disturbances in your body.
What's the source? An example of the source of infrasonic noise, low cycle.
Low cycle noises, a good example would be some of these air conditioners on top of these cooling towers for air conditioners on top of buildings where they have slow beating of the fans and you just aren't aware of it. Any low vibrations that come to the ground, there have been some experiments out of Washington, some studies that show that there's infrasound all around us. If a volcano explodes someplace thousands of miles away. The infrasound travels through the atmosphere and can affect us.
Isn't that, I was going to say, amazing? It's more frightening than anything
it's
else.
It's very frightening.
Is there one noise above all others which constitutes the greatest threat to health? You know, the one most dangerous, prevalent noise that we experience?
Well, that's a good question. I would say the noises of traffic probably are of transportation are probably the worst noises in that regard. They're the most omnipresent. We can't avoid them, even on the farms.
Personally, that's the one that bothers me, just Manhattan traffic.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I have a terrible thought right now that is all over the country, people are going to their radio sets and turning the volume down, which is all right as long as they don't turn it down too far. Well, Mr. Berland, you do offer practical suggestions for dealing with noise, but before we get to them, we're going to take a small break. We'll be back with Theodore Berland, author of The Fight for Quiet, in just a minute, here on the Monitor Beacon.
Come with Swiss Air to the great cities under the Iberian sun. Swiss Air has four brand new vacation packages that travel experts say are the best buys under the Iberian sun. For as little as $322, Swiss Air will take you to Lisbon and the beaches and fishing villages of the Algarve for 2 weeks. Airfare, accommodations, sightseeing, and breakfast included. Price based on group inclusive tour fare, minimum 15 people. For more about Swiss Air's new extra value vacations, call your travel agent or Swiss Air. Come to this land, we'll
Happy Day Radio 66, WNBC, New York.
Here comes Laura.
Bill Cullen, back again with me to continue our conversation on noise pollution, is Theodore Berland, author of the new book, The Fight for Quiet. Mr. Berland, in your book you mention some famous people who lived in what we would consider the good old quiet days, that they had problems with noise. How did they cope with it? Who were they?
Well, take, for instance, Noah Webster, the man who wrote our first dictionary. He put his study inside a cork-lined room, and he isolated himself from his family, and he had many, many children. It was a very noisy household, but he isolated himself.
I never knew that story. He assumed then, I guess he claimed it interfered with his thought process.
Oh, right. He couldn't stand it. Joseph Pulitzer was another man who couldn't stand noise, and he went to great measures to isolate himself from noise. He even built a noise-proof house. And when he traveled and went in a hotel, he would take the hotel rooms above him and to the sides of him to assure that he had quiet.
That is not only caution, that's class.
That's class.
For a man who made a lot of it himself, George Bernard Shaw resented noise too, didn't he?
Oh, he hated noise terribly. In fact, he would not allow any conversations at dinner.
Unless it were, well, that's another setting. Aside from living in a cork-lined, double-doored room as Noah Webster did, what can the average person do about noise? I mean, just me, in my ordinary day.
Well, your ordinary day, I think one thing you might get yourself is a pair of earmuffs. You probably have sunglasses to protect your eyes from extra light stimulation. I think you ought to get yourself a pair of earmuffs to protect your ears, because we're all surrounded by noise. But in your own home, in your living room, for instance, you can put down carpeting, put drapes on the wall, put acoustic tile on the ceiling, use soft upholstered furniture. That'll all help control the noise.
Those devices that they use at the airports, the ground crews working near the jets, they obviously are very effective. They look more like ear muffs.
They keep the sound out. They reduce the decibels, depending on their make, from 40, 50, 60 decibels. That's considerable. You don't lose all hearing. I mean, you can still get some clues from the world outside, but it's not irritating and it's not damaging. And they're not expensive.
No. Now the appliances, the noisiest appliance around our house, I guess, is the dishwasher. That's my wife. No, actually, that is a machine that makes it's a constant bombardment of noise. The vacuum cleaner makes a lot of noise.
Terribly noisy.
The blender, the can opener screams. How about making quieter appliances?
There's no reason that appliances can't be quiet, and I would hope that in America, where we now have a consumerism movement and people are asking for safety in their devices, I would hope that consumers now will apply pressure on manufacturers and have quiet appliances. There's no reason for appliances not to be quiet, it's just that no one has ever thought about it.
Hasn't it been claimed that a lady or anyone unscientific would not be prone to buy, for instance, a perfectly quiet vacuum cleaner because they'd lose faith in the fact that it was doing its job if it just sort of lay there quietly?
That's right. The problem is that we've come to associate noise with power. When you go to buy an automobile, for instance, you press on the gas pedal, vroom, vroom, to say, look how powerful it is. But it isn't necessarily true that power comes with noise. You can have quiet power. What we really have to do is think quiet. We have to think quiet in terms of design. We have to think quiet in terms of putting pressure on manufacturers.
I wish someone would convince the manufacturers of motorcycles and scooters that we can have quiet power. I've heard, too, that it helps to plant hedges around the house if you live in the suburbs.
No, I'm afraid it looks nice, and it may isolate yourself in terms of you can't see the traffic, but the noise gets through. You really need a solid barrier. You have to put up a brick wall, and not many people want to put up brick walls around their homes.
Is it my imagination, or do kids have more tolerance for noise? Teenagers, let's say.
They don't have more tolerance. It's just that they use it in ways that we don't use it. They immerse themselves in this awfully loud rock music, and I mean in person, to get this total sensory experience. Many of them don't realize it, but it really is threatening to them.
I've heard it's affected their hearing, many of them, who constantly expose themselves.
Right. And even some rock musicians are aware of this, and under their long hair, some of them have earplugs.
Deafness could be a final defense against rock, I suppose. What about the problem of noise in the community? Is there a way for the average one of us to fight for quiet?
Oh, yeah, I think all of us average citizens should join citizens group or create citizens groups and start pressuring for quiet. We need to tell our legislators, we need to tell our city councils that we need good laws to force the quiet. We've had an election, and there's been a great deal of talk about law and order, and now I'd like to see some of the politicians talk about peace and quiet, because that's what we need.
Well, I hope, like so many other things, it's not too late to do something about it. But thank you ever so much, Ted.
Thank you, Bill.
We've been talking to Theodore Berland, author of a new book on noise pollution called The Fight for Quiet. Quiet Music by the Leonard.
Upset. Acid indigestion. Nothing ever seems to work. Don't give up, because now there's Digel, the extra action antacid with the unique ingredient, simethicone, to relieve the pressure caused by bubbles of gas trapped in your digestive system. Plain antacids are fine as far as they go, but Digel takes the acid and the gas out of acid indigestion.
Great evening.
Great idea.
About what?
About Digel.
When your stomach's tense, when you have heartburn, a stuffy burning sensation from acid indigestion, take Digel. When you eat too well, demand Digel, tablets or liquid.
Now's the time to get your new 1971 St. Joseph Family Almanac calendar. It has 30 full color pages with recipes, household tips, beauty hints, and much more. Your pharmacist buys it and gives it to you free, except no other. Get the new 1971 St. Joseph Family Almanac calendar free at your drugstore.
Here's one of Petula Clark's big hits. Standard now, downtown.
When you're alone, life is making you lonely. You can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown.
most beer. Not so easy to brew, the finest. It takes carefully selected ingredients, extra time, and extra brewing steps. And that's exactly what Miller does. That's why every glass of Miller High Life beer is really deep down good, satisfying, refreshing. Truly, the champagne of beers.
Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee. In central New England, you're hearing Monitor on WTAG Worcester, 580 on the dial. I'm Bill Cullen, 150 on the scale.
When's the last time you really got your money's worth? When's the last time you spent a dollar and were satisfied? Well, at Watson's Hamburger Restaurants, you get your money's worth. Every Watson's Hamburger is 100% all beef and U.S. government inspected. And if you think inflation has cut your buying power, listen to this. You can have lunch or dinner at Watson's for less than a dollar. A Watson's Hamburger, French fries, apple pie, and a Coca-Cola, or Watson's Thick Shake costs less than a dollar. Who says a dollar doesn't buy anything anymore? At Wetson's, it still does. Worried about inflation? Come to Wetson's. Get your money's worth for a change.
You can win a free Thanksgiving turkey at Wetson's. Yes, Wetson's Hamburger Restaurants are giving away 200 turkeys in their fantastic Thanksgiving Win a Turkey sweepstakes. Just fill out a sweepstakes ticket at any Wetson's Hamburger Restaurant. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes close November 24th, 1970. Void where prohibited.
We're looking for sunshine.
Happy Day Radio 66, WNBC New York.
This is Hugh Morgan, WNBC News, at 5:30, 60 degrees and clear in New York City. In the Bronx, police are holding a 17-year-old youth who they say has a history of emotional problems on first-degree murder charges in the slaying last night of his mother and father. Bronx Criminal Court Judge George Bissell ordered Larry Mullen confined to Rikers Island until Monday, when he's scheduled to appear in court for an examination by court psychiatrists to determine if he's competent to stand trial. Mullen, a high school dropout, was found standing over the body of his mother when police forced their way into the Mullen's third-floor apartment at 246 East 199th Street. Police found the mother lying by the door and the father, a transit authority employee, dead in the bedroom with a 12-inch stiletto by his side. Police said Larry, who was described by neighbors as being withdrawn, offered no resistance and said only, "How horrible, how horrible." Black militant Angela Davis is receiving the support of four black organizations who are urging a massive mobilization. The group say Miss Davis is innocent of the charges against her and have announced they intend to pressure Governor Rockefeller into refusing to extradite Miss Davis, a former philosophy instructor, to California, where she's wanted on a murder charge. Dr. Milton Halpern, the city's chief medical examiner, has reported that three women have died following abortions in New York hospitals since the liberal state abortion law went into effect, as compared with only one death after a hospital abortion in the previous 40 years. Halpern added, however, that the three deaths were what he called just a curious set of cases.
A U.S. Embassy spokesman in Moscow says that American diplomats are ignoring all celebrations of the 53rd anniversary of the Communist Bolshevik Revolution. The boycott is in protest over the Kremlin's refusal to release three captive American Army officers. Doctors of former Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev say he has refused to go into the hospital despite a relapse of a serious heart ailment. Family friends of the 76-year-old Khrushchev say he wanted to pass the anniversary of the Russian Revolution at his home near Moscow today. Observers at the third round of the strategic arms limitation talks in Helsinki, Finland, say a Soviet proposal for a freeze on nuclear missiles is apparently a response to an American proposal presented in July. The American proposal, which would set specific numerical limits on nuclear weapon systems. In the Mideast, Israel's Defense Minister Moshe Dayan says UN-mediated peace talks are the only real hopes for peace in the Mideast. And in sports tonight, the Rangers play the Kings in Los Angeles. Broadcast time is 10:55 right here on WNBC, Radio 66, the home of the Rangers and the New York Knickerbockers. Now a check of WNBC weekend happenings. First, the weather forecast, fair and cooler tonight with a low in the upper 30s, sunny and cool tomorrow, a high near 50. Precipitation probability 20% this afternoon, 10% tonight, and near zero tomorrow. Right now the winds are from the southwest at 7, the relative humidity 41%, it's 60 degrees, and it's clear right now in New York City. A check of metropolitan area weekend activity shows the St. Mary's Players Guild will present Why Not Join the Giraffes? A comedy in three acts tonight at 8:30 in St. Mary's School Auditorium, 225th Street and Carpenter Avenue, and that's in the Bronx. The Good Counsel Holiday Festival will be held on the campus of Good Counsel College and Academy, White Plains, New York, until 10 p.m. this evening. The proceeds will go to the Sisters of the Divine Compassion. Now checking the traffic story, all traffic in and out of the city at this hour is reported as being moderate. Again, the top story, police in the Bronx are holding a 17-year-old youth because he stabbed his mother and father to death last night in their Bronx apartment. This is Hugh Morgan, WNBC News. Now back to NBC's Monitor.
Hi, Bill Cullen for Joe Garagiola, your tour guide for this trip called Monitor. Speaking of trips, we're going to be city hopping in a few minutes, visiting some American metropolises recommended as great vacation spots. Can't take off yet, though, not until Tom Jones is airborne. My hometown. You're here with me. Monitor travel and vacation expert, Francis Colton. Brought to you by Japan Airlines, the airline with the gracious 747 Garden Jet.
A Japanese garden. A serene setting of refined beauty, where you can contemplate your own private thoughts or chat with your friends, free from the hurried world outside. The traditional Japanese garden is what inspired Japan Airlines when they designed their new 747 garden jets. No other airline created such a unique setting for the 747, and you can enjoy it all. The tranquility of a Japanese garden, gracious service from kimono-clad hostesses, and flight at nearly the speed of sound. Next time you're traveling between California, Hawaii, and Japan, the 747 Garden Jet from Japan Airlines, the worldwide airline of Japan.
Japan Airlines 747 Garden Jets to Tokyo daily from Hawaii, and daily except Monday from Los Angeles. For reservations, call your travel agent or Japan Airlines. Now, Francis Colton.
With all their problems, marvelous things are happening in American cities. Creative, zingy things that are bringing new visions of what city life can be. And many people who used to travel abroad are now zigzagging their way up and down the United States, rediscovering America. Certainly, there's no piece of real estate in the entire world as richly peppered as ours with great cities. Think of it. They spread across our land in mountains and new shores, with Spanish, French, or revolutionary flavor, and each place has its own style and attractiveness. Do you know, for example, which city has emptied one of the most expensive pieces of real estate in the world and placed on it a five-story sculpture by Picasso? Have you any idea where an old chocolate factory with its dilapidated surroundings have been converted to a flowering of boutiques and restaurants and coffee shops so filled with charm you'll want to spend days and days? And have you been to a one sort of so-so dismal city that has become a living gallery of great architecture so that just walking along the streets is a visual delight? I speak of Chicago's Picasso and San Francisco's Ghirardelli Square and New Haven's thrilling new buildings. And there's much, much more. There's Pittsburgh's Gateway Center, such a beautiful mingling of small green parks and large, beautiful, airy office buildings that it makes going to work a pleasure. And there's the fresh, shining Music Center in Los Angeles with its sweeping view. And oh, the zip and zing of Atlanta, the South's New York, and its ebullient Regency Hyatt Hotel, with all the rooms circling a great shaft of light and space and seeming miraculous. Everywhere in these United States, remarkable buildings are being built and changes are taking place. There are marvelous museums, and regional theater has developed so richly that exciting plays are born in Houston, Minneapolis, and Washington, D.C., then come to Broadway to gladden its life. And finally, there's always the fascinating appeal of seeing how other people live. In Seattle, people gear their lives to sports, sailing in Puget Sound right out there and skiing in the nearby mountains. While Chicagoans leave their offices at 5 and are sailing on Lake Michigan at 5:15. And Houston is called a young man city, because it not only counts more men than women, but the average age of its men is a mere 27. Yes, the cities have their problems, but with them all, there's a great outpouring of creative energies. You should get out and see what's happening. Go to see other people in other parts of the country and get to know their cities. You'll come back thrilled and excited about the marvelous, unexpected, yes, beautiful things you'll find. I did. This is Francis Colton, and I'll be back again tomorrow. And until then, here's a bonus travel tip. If you do your city hopping by air, look into special excursion fares. They can save you lots of money. Till tomorrow.
Thank you, Fran. I like that part about Pittsburgh, but then who am I? And now this message from Japan Airlines, the worldwide airline of Japan. Here's something important to look for when you plan your vacation, the Happy Holidays symbol. It assures you of the convenience and hospitality of Japan Airlines, the worldwide airline of Japan. There are hundreds of Happy Holidays tours to all parts of the world, with vacations to the Far East starting as low as $1,028 from the West Coast. Your travel agent can show you a long list of Happy Holidays tours or call your local Japan Airlines office.
Tomorrow, advice on traveling companions when Japan Airlines again presents Francis Colton. A little traveling music? This is new by Hines and Dad. Love takes a long time growing.
Monitor Beacon.
You supply the willpower, we'll supply the grow power. Saving banks are people banks, helping people grow.
Savings banks as people banks put your money to work in what we call people projects. Financing homes and apartments by the millions. Schools, houses of worship, hospitals, shopping centers. You see, grow power is more than just high savings bank interest dividends. It's homes and jobs and payroll for families and communities all across New York State. All made possible by people saving in savings banks. This is Dave Garraway reminding you that if you supply the willpower, the savings banks will supply the grow power.
You supply the willpower, we'll supply the grow power. Savings banks are people banks.
Happy Day Radio 66, WNBC, New York.
Bill Cullen going up on the roof with Laura Nero.
Oh,
Something I rarely get a chance to do anymore. Just taking a good old-fashioned walk. From here, you get a whole new perspective on what traffic's like these days. All those big, beautiful automobiles out there, and me, not exactly a gazelle, out racing them all, on foot. The saddest part is, traffic keeps getting worse. That's why one of our products, STP gasoline treatment, had to get better. Now when you add it to your gas, it helps clean your spark plugs better, clean your carburetor better, so you're helping to clean and tune your big, beautiful, expensive engine as you drive. And as you sit there in traffic, too.
Help clean your spark plugs better. And help clean your carburetor better. So you help clean and tune your engine as you drive. With new, improved STP gasoline treatment. Ask for it at your service station. You'll feel the difference.
It's time to catch up on sports.
Heisman sets Notre Dame career record, and Lou Tendler dies. Now the stories behind those headlines on Monitor Sports. Notre Dame, the nation's second-ranked college football team in the weekly Associated Press poll, routed Pittsburgh 46-14. Quarterback Joe Theismann of the Irish tossed three touchdown passes in the process of rolling up 381 yards in total offense. That gave Theismann a career record of 4,853 yards, 20 more than the legendary George Gipp. In other games involving the nation's 10 top teams, top-ranked Texas 21, Baylor 14. Third-ranked Ohio State got by Wisconsin 24-7. Fifth-ranked Michigan whitewashed Illinois 42-0. Arkansas, ranked seventh, defeated Rice 38-14. And eighth-ranked Tennessee edged South Carolina 20-18. Now let's run the scores, finals only. Unbeaten Dartmouth routed Columbia 55-0. Rutgers 6, Boston University 3. Colby 14, Bates 7. Vanderbilt edged Kentucky 18-17. Temple 18, Rhode Island 15. Cornell 35, Brown 21. Penn State blanked Maryland 34-0. Bowdoin 32, Tufts 3. Marshall 20, Kent State 17. North Carolina State 21, Virginia 16. Wesleyan beat Williams 29-13. Harvard 29, Princeton 7. Wake Forest 28, Duke 14. Virginia Tech 34, Villanova 7. Rochester 27, Hobart 20. Michigan State 24, Purdue 14. North Carolina rolled over VMI 62-13. William & Mary 28, Connecticut 15, Yale 32, Penn 22, Maine 28, Vermont 21, Boston College clobbered Buffalo 65-12, Florida 24, Georgia 17, Adelphi 12, Maine Maritime 0, LSU 14, Alabama 9, Union 13, Middlebury 10, Kansas State 28, Oklahoma State 15. Georgia Tech 30, Navy 8, Northwestern 28, Minnesota 14, Chattanooga 29, the Citadel 28, Syracuse 31, Army 29, Fordham crushed Georgetown 39-17, that's a club football game, Southern Methodist 6, Texas A&M 3, Xavier, Ohio 35, Quantico Marines 27, Massachusetts 29, Holy Cross 13, Lehigh 36, Delaware 13, Mississippi 24, Houston 13, Iowa 42, Indiana 13, Tulsa 21, Wichita 12, Oklahoma 28, Missouri 13, Colgate 44, Bucknell 14, Western Michigan 20, West Texas State nothing. In boxing, Lou Tendler, who almost took the lightweight championship from Benny Leonard, died today at the age of 72 in Somers Point, New Jersey. Tendler fought 167 times as a pro and lost only seven, all to champions. He operated a restaurant in Philadelphia after he retired from the ring. In Rome, middleweight champion Nino Benvenuti, the challenger Carlos Monzon of Argentina, barely made the division weight limit for their bout today. Both scaled 159 3/4 pounds. In the National Hockey League, Chicago and Philadelphia traded second period goals and tied it at 1-1. And that's the late sport news. Music to paint by. Watercolor Days, Bobby Goldsboro sings it.
Remember when the air was clear enough for us to see through, and the sky was a watercolor blue. A picture in my mind, the two of us in the early morning dew, when the colors of the flowers were true.
Candy, a great story of quality. More quality. Happiness is goodness, Hollywood's saying these days. They've taken up the banner for really good candy in times that have forced compromise with quality in every other field. They're upgrading the quality of every Hollywood candy bar with the finest ingredients from the best-known quality makers like Carnation Milk, Baker's Cocoa, the makers of Karo Syrup, and on down the line. You never had candy bars so good. Try one. Try a Payday, Hollywood's famous salted nut roll. It's completely covered with crisp, fresh-roasted Spanish salted peanuts. Inside is a layer of caramel and the smoothest vanilla fudge center you ever tasted. Or try a Hollywood bar, or the new almond bar, or a milkshake bar. Happiness is really goodness with any of Hollywood's dozen candy bars. Just look for the Hollywood star on the wrappers. Kreischer playing Born Free. Hey, by the way, if you're free tomorrow night, may we suggest that you tune in NBC Radio for an analysis of what happened at the polls on the Peabody Award-winning program Second Sunday. NBC newsmen Dean Mell, Paul Duke, Russ Ward, and Peter Hackus will try to explain who did what at the ballot box. That's Second Sunday, tomorrow night, immediately following the 9 o'clock news. That's Eastern Time. That's all for Monitor Saturday afternoon. Bill Cullen for Joe G. I'm glad you let us spend some time with you.
News time is coming up now.